Growl.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed, you got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you want to be. Hard day to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're going to step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, April 26th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy Using Feng Shui, with my guest, Karen Ra Carter. Did I say that right, Karen?
Oh, close enough. It's one of those German words that we don't know how to do those CH things, and you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I say Karen Rao Carter. Some people say Karen Roush Carter. Whatever. I'm easy.
Okay. Yeah, you're easy. Karen is a best-selling author, international speaker, and feng shui expert. And before I get started with our show, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners, because I realize that you have lots of other things you can do with your time, so I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just need to press pound 1 to let me know you have a question or comment. If you're over there in the chat room, just type in your questions or comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. I can see already that all of our lines are lit up, Karen, so a lot of people are interested in this topic, and I want to welcome over there in the chat room, Chris Gloss. Hi, Chris, and guest 1378, and I can see we're going to have an exciting show today. Now, let me remind all of you that the show is live, so that means that anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common one. Even the guests and the hosts get lost sometimes. If that happens, just suddenly dial in again, 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and they're available for you later under on-demand episodes over on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it, and you can first do that by adding yourself as a friend over on my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, and you also can mark my show as a favorite. Now, for those of you who are out there in cyberspace Twittering and Facebooking, you can also become a fan on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter. You can do all that from my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. Now, for those of you who don't know me just yet, I'm an author, coach, and an inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you will learn about all the programs that I have available to help you choose happiness for your life. Now, while you're on my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, you may sign up for my free weekly newsletter, and also click and go over and take a look at my blog. So you can tell I do a lot of writing every week, and all of it is designed to help you choose the life that's best for you. If you are local, that is, if you live in Orange County, California, or Los Angeles, California, and you are ready to come out of hiding and live your life to its fullest, I encourage you to consider joining me on the second and fourth Thursdays at 6 p.m. live. We have a meetup group called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. When you go over to my website, you'll be able to see how to sign up for that. Now, on this show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. In order to get at that, each week I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career. You can see all of those things that contribute to lasting happiness. Now, today, my guest is Karen Raw Carter.
Let's just say wow with an R.
All right.
Maybe that'll help you.
Karen Rao Carter.
Hey, I like it.
Best-selling. Hey, I kind of like wow better. Karen Wow Carter, author of best-selling book Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, and she is a feng shui expert. I saw Karen speak at a meeting I attended a couple of times, and I was very excited to learn from her because she makes this feng shui stuff easy to understand and easy to do, and I knew I wanted her on my show, and I'm so delighted that you said yes, Karen. Hi, Karen.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here, and I love interactive-type shows, so bring on the questions because it's all about giving people the information that they, you know, could use immediately as opposed to
right.
me just guessing. So
I love
interaction. And you know, my book title was Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, How to Use Feng Shui to Get Money, Love, Respect, and Happiness. So we are in the same boat trying to make the world a happier
That's
place
right.
in our own little angles. And I just happened to write about trying to get happy with Feng Shui. And, of course, color is, you know, right up the alley here.
That's right, and I didn't even think about that at the time I was writing my book, so this is just wonderful. I want to tell the audience a little bit about you, your background, and then we'll get started with the questions, okay?
Okie doke.
Okay, now I've already told you that Karen is a best-selling author and feng shui expert, but you probably can already tell that she's very passionate about helping people create and live their healthiest and most vibrant lives. Karen has over 20 years of experience studying methods and modalities that produce consistent and some say miraculous results. Her extensive experience and studies led her to develop a unique set of programs to change one's awareness and to provide them with the tools they need to absorb all that life has to offer. Now, Karen's background is the basis for creating and developing Karen RauCarter.com, and that's spelled R-A-U-C-H there in the middle, which is a comprehensive resource to create supportive inner and outer environments that generate consistent results. Karen's methodology integrates time-tested, researched, and sound practices for bodies, minds, spirits, and surroundings. Now, simply stated, Karen is a well-studied and experienced designer of healthy homes and vibrant lifestyles. She motivates her clients and audiences when she speaks to rethink their day-to-day choices by implementing simple fixes for home, health, relationships, and more. And I like that, Karen, that you give simple fixes. She wrote the best-selling book, Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, which has been translated into 7 languages. So if you don't already have her book, you want to dash over and get it as soon as the show is over. But wait till the show is over to do that, okay? All right. Welcome again, Karen.
Thank you. And I'm going to have a little caveat there to my introduction. My KarenRauCarter.com, we pulled down just for a little bit. It'll be up in a couple weeks. But you can still go to the original site, FengShuiPalace.com, which happens to be on the back of the book if people would like to grab that. And then we're going to be porting over. We're waiting for an auspicious day to link up with KarenRauCarter.com. So, you know, I'm always looking at patterns in people's environments and mm-hmm. how it affects them. And there are actually patterns in time. You know, I'm sure everybody's heard of, you know, Greg Braden's Fractal Time book and all this kind
right.
of new stuff that's
right.
coming out. And so it's always good to pay attention to everything that's going on, whether it's in time or space. And so I'm happy that we're going to be bringing up KarenRaoulCarter.com later on in May. So I'm thrilled to be here, and I can't wait to help out in any way I can with how to use color in your spaces.
Well, that's good, because I want to start right off the bat. I read your book and am reading your book. I think your book is one of those things that people need to realize. You're not going to read from beginning to end and stop. You really have to go back and forth and go back and double-check things. At least that's the way I'm doing it as I work on my various spaces. So I noticed that color is very important in feng shui. Can you elaborate on that for perhaps people who don't even know exactly what feng shui is? Could you elaborate on that?
Right. Well, let's just get started with that. Feng shui is really a method of mindfully arranging your environment so that it supports you consistently. Now, almost every culture in the world has their own style of feng shui, except, you know, we here in the U.S., we don't have, well, actually the Native Americans, you know, they didn't just willy-nilly put up their little, everybody has mindfulness in the Eskimos, you know, they don't turn their little opening of their igloo to the north winds, you know, whatever. It's everybody has it except us, and so we had to kind of go out and borrow some tactics that are universally working for people in their environments. I would say the closest thing we have in the U.S. would be the Farmer's Almanac, actually paying attention to currents and wind patterns and things like that, and to actually grow crops and have better luck growing crops. So it's all about making sure you have the best available resources in the right places to create the consistent results. Now, color is considered one of the 9 traditional ways that you can change the energy of a space. I mean, haven't you felt totally different in the same room after painting it a different color?
That's true.
You know, all of a sudden you go from drab to fab or something like that, or else you pick a wrong one and you're like, ooh, I feel all jittery in here, or whatever. You know, it can change your vibe or change your mood. And so, and that's really what feng shui does. It's almost like you start out with one little itchy, scratchy thing, and then it builds, and then it builds, and then you become sort of, you know, in this whole downward spiral of something. And we're about healing those little tiny things where maybe some people understand the logical things of don't put, you know, I usually say don't put the baby down by the edge of the pool to take a nap, because that would be an environment that's not really conducive to probably an okay outcome consistently. And so where does the obvious end and the subtle begin? And feng shui really looks at a lot of the subtle things that are either just nipping away at you, causing this sort of unhappy ending, or, you know, getting yourself in the right order, in the right patterns to create an outcome that does make you happy. And so that's really what it's all about. It doesn't really mean that it doesn't come from a religion or anything. You know, we had to borrow the Chinese term for it because we didn't have our own. Mm-hmm, and so that's what feng shui is. And color plays a unique role because, as one of the 9 traditional cures, like some of the other, we call a cure, just a traditional way of changing up a space to create a different outcome. You know, like you would change light would be one, sound, moving objects, still objects, you know, creating changes in the environment that make you feel more, that make you feel different. And therefore you react differently in life with other people and so forth. So,
Well, I'm glad you explained that, because I think that some people who are not familiar with feng shui think that it's some kind of hocus-pocus, spooky kind of thing, or they think spiritual and don't think that we have much in common with it. And yet, you just pointed out that most cultures have some kind of mindfulness about their environment. And then I'm glad you pointed to the Farmer's Almanac, because that's a very old and respected book, and I guess they still publish that, huh?
I think so.
With that people seriously consulted about what planting crops and other kinds of things. So this is not something that is foreign to us in the sense of paying attention. It's just that we didn't have a name for it. So that's why we had to borrow feng shui. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have to paint your house like a circus tent to get good feng shui results? Because I know that there are various colors that are will bring about certain kinds of, attract certain kind of results. So what's the deal on all the colors, painting your house?
Well, I actually have, you know, it's interesting because when I wrote my book, you know, Simon & Schuster granted me the right to write a black and white book, you know, no color whatsoever. and in the feng shui world, it's such a big thing. So I really tried to paint pictures in people's minds as they're reading the book, and some people got way off on the color. And I have seen houses painted like circus tents. And no, you don't have to do that. But I have seen people do that in the name of feng shui, and I'm like, you don't have to do that. Now, the reason I got into feng shui was I'm a landscape architect, so I understand. I have a design degree, and you know, feng shui makes sense if you have ever taken any design, you know, courses and understand. It's really a different language of talking about good design and aesthetics and so forth. Mm-hmm. But there are also some more quantum physics type of overlay into it. Mm-hmm. And I think the movie The Secret and What the Bleep and all these things are kind of on the edge of where feng shui is as well. So we're looking at our intentions and what we're doing in the mindset that we have while we're creating our changes. So it's kind of all these new, quote, spiritual things lumped in with design things, and, you know, you put them all together and you've got feng shui. But you don't have to paint your house like a circus tent. There are colors associated, yes, with there's colors that can bring about certain conditions in life. But you know, one of the rules in feng shui is you can hide things, just like your hidden clutter in the drawers affects you, whether your guests can see it or not. Color, even if it's hidden, can affect you, even though you know, you're not seeing it. So it's just the actual vibrational quality of that color in your space. And just like when light shines through a prism and the color of the rainbow shoots out the other side, there are certain patterns that show up naturally. And so we're trying to understand how to create the pattern that works for us. And that's how you would use color in feng shui.
Well, I want to get to dig a little deeper about that then, because when you say red, for example, you know, you recommend using red someplace. Does it have to be a bright Chinese red, or will a color like burgundy do? Because there are gazillion shades of all these colors.
Right. All colors do something. And all colors are actually different depending on what's around them. So I have seen the same brown look like the happiest color in the room because of what's around it. And I've seen that same brown look like the deadest color in the room because of what's around it. So everything is relative. And you know, a Chinese red would not be the answer in every occasion, you know, when you're wanting a red. And so it really all depends on what's in relationship to it. And that's where a lot of people ask me, is a red front door good feng shui all the time? And I'm like, it depends. The first thing I want to say with every feng shui question is it depends, because I need more information about what it's relative to. So it's all relative. That's the yin and yang kind of part of feng shui. You know, where are you on that yin and yang scale?
Yeah.
So not too bright, not too... We're looking for the Goldilocks scale. Let's call it, you know, not too hot, not too cool, not too big, not too small, not too, you know, light, not too dark. So we're looking for the balancer. And so it depends whether that color is good or not, depends on what's around it.
Okay, and I like that in your book you mentioned this, and you mentioned this when you speak to about the importance of intention, because when you are setting up these various things and you can't find, let's say, the exact, I think one of the things you suggested, I was setting up my corner, I think it was helping people corner, then I needed a silver box. And I didn't have a silver box exactly, and I think you pointed out that you can use a gray or spray it silver, or there are a variety of things you can do to bring it about, because it depends on intention.
Right, yeah, you can cover a box with aluminum foil if you wanted to, you know.
Okay,
so
yeah, I was glad.
This is, that's the quantum physics. That is the invisible half of the feng shui fix or feng shui cure or change that you're trying to bring about. The visible half is the color or the furniture or the carpet or whatever you're moving or changing the intention behind it. For example, when you get back to reds, reds do two functions in the feng shui world that are seemingly very opposing, but it depends on your intention. Red can attract energy. That's why you might put it on your front door if it's in shadow or hard to find and so forth, to attract people and energy towards it. And red also stops energy. Stop at the red line. So,
okay,
I mean, wow, those are two very different things. So would you want your front door to stop all the energy coming your way, or would you want it to attract it? I mean, so really you have to have your mindset in order here to tell it kind of the energetic vibe, what
it's doing
for you, what your intentions are behind it.
Okay, okay. I'm glad you mentioned that red door because I have a red door.
Now, calling all energy, calling all energy, come this way.
Calling all energy. Okay, speaking of energy, if I were looking for love, what would you suggest I do in my environment regarding color?
Well, there are several things that we could do. The love and marriage and kind of the intimate relationship I'm going for here. There are several different types of love, but I'm talking about a one-on-one kind of intimate relationship. The area that governs that is the right back. Let's put a tic-tac-toe board over your house or over your bedroom or over your lot, whatever. Let's say your bedroom. So you're standing at the threshold looking in your bedroom. If you, wherever the door is, just look to the back, the other side of the room over to the right. That would be the relationship area of the bedroom. And colors that work great there would be kind of all the Hallmark Valentine colors, you know, reds and pinks like that. And I've seen people go haywire when it comes to putting, oh my gosh, Cupids are flying over there, you know. And but also you can use earth tones because that area is governed by the earth element of the five elements of feng shui: water, wood, earth, fire, and metal. And so knowing that, you could put a bunch of earth tones to really ground that and make it feel more solid in your, you know, have a solid relationship in your life with, you know, use those intentions. So all the yellows or taupes or browns or maybe some orangey a little bit and get the earth tones. So yellows or pinks or reds would do just great there.
Okay. And that can be the colors of objects or things that we put over there. What about if we put paper over, you know, let's say we didn't have a yellow object. Could a yellow piece of paper work over there?
Yellow piece of paper, right. Things with that color, with the right intention. And remember, if it's tacky from a design point of view, I'm not all about that. I love to have good aesthetics as well. So we love the rule, you can hide it if you need to hide it. And like I said, color is just one of the nine traditional. So if color doesn't work for you at all, there are plenty of other choices. Even symbols are one of the nine traditional ways. So you could put a symbol of love over there that doesn't necessarily have the color. But I know today we're really concentrating on color. So don't freak out if you, you know, like I said, the circus tent, please don't think you have to go there.
Yeah, that's important to know because, I mean, it's important to know about the other elements because sometimes people have, let's say, inherited a room or they're renting or something and they can't make big changes like paint the place circus colors. And so it's good to know about the other things you can do. Now, I want to move on to something that I'm sure everybody is interested in and I'm very curious about, and that's prosperity. Can you give me some prosperous color options? Because that's something we all want to attract, along with love.
Oh, yeah. Love, money, it's all.
That's right.
Shall I tell you the one of the original names in the hopper choice for this book?
Yes, sure.
I hope everybody's sitting down. It was called Good Pay, good lay feng shui.
Oh.
Because I'm telling you, it's the love and the money that people just keep wanting, you know, and I'm like, there's so many other things to get that you can accomplish, but people just hammer me on those. So that was one of the, like, tongue-in-cheek. But at the time when I wrote this book, nobody even knew F-E-N-G-S-H-U-I was spelled, was pronounced feng shui, so it didn't even rhyme by the time people were using it. So this is an old book. She's an old gal. But she's still contemporary in her own mind.
Right.
Okay, so the prosperity colors would be when you think of all the rich colors, you know, like purple, all the things that the kings and the queens and gold and purple.
Regal colors.
And regal colors, rich colors. You know, when you talk about having a rich color, I think that would, you know, I would think about that. But I would say the classic color that people would use for prosperity would be purple. And purple in the feng shui world, it's like it's so red, it's purple. Purple is the extreme of red. And red has always been considered a powerful color. So purple just brings you over the top. It has, not only are you powerful, but have that wealth as well, because it's kind of like a very unique, unusual color out there in nature. So I would think purple when it comes to prosperity. And that would be the back left corner of your
the opposite
bedroom.
Corner from your love corner.
Uh-huh. Yep,
okay.
In the back. So we got purple on the left and pink on the right or whatever.
Okay. What about colors in the art? Does that have a big impact on things?
Oh, yes. You know,
the art that's
find...
hanging on the walls, I guess.
Yes, I could do a whole workshop on just that's really the traditional cure called symbols. And what I find in people's art, because art really has no other function other than just kind of eye candy, you know, there's no reason for it to be there. So the subject in the art and how things, the movement or the stillness, the quality of the art, you know, like I usually tell people, if you don't want to have a still life in the bedroom, don't put a still life in the bedroom. Or if you don't want to have a one-night stand, don't use one-night stand next to your bed.
Right.
Okay. So we're looking for the symbols that we have. And sometimes I would say patterns of nature. If I were to say, I don't know anything about your house and I don't know anything about you, but a good chances are it's going to work out to your favor, art would be patterns of nature. So it would be the fern opening up, the redwoods of Northern California, the rocks of Sedona, the, you know, just like trying to find, you know, calendar pictures. They always have really beautiful quality photographs. And I find that people relate to the, you know, nobody's looking at a daisy and going, gosh, if it only had one more leaf on the side, or one more petal. You just accept it as perfectly fine the way it is. And so nature just has this inherent feeling subconsciously of us that we're a part of nature. It's just perfect the way it is. And, you know, that's how I would go with the symbols and the colors and natural colors versus, you know, people that live maybe in strict high-density urban environments and they have all architecture in their art. They're only adding, and this is where the Goldilocks thing goes, you know, too urban. So especially if you're living in a high-density or very urban environment, I would bring in patterns of nature. If you have a lot of nature outside of you, you might be able to bring in, you know, less natural objects in the art. But getting back to that love thing, getting back to that love corner, if you are single, I wouldn't choose a lot of art that has a single subject in it, especially if you're like a single woman. I wouldn't have a lot of single women in the art, because that would be sort of anchoring that vibrational equivalent in your world.
Now, I have another question about art, because many people have photographs of their family, and I know I do. I have a wall of photographs of my grandkids and various settings, group settings of us. Where do those fit into the whole house? you know, where are those best going to go? Obviously, I'm thinking that you wouldn't want them in your bedroom, in particularly. Where
right.
would those best go?
Well, my rule is nobody else's eyes but those who sleep there should be in your bedroom. So
Ooh.
You don't want the parents, you don't want the kids, you don't want, your religious icons, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Buddha, Gandhi, whatever. You don't want them staring upon you while you're in your passionate mode, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So where I would place family members, now there are two choices, and it's kind of just in front of the relationship and just in front of the prosperity. So halfway back on the
mm-hmm.
left-hand side, before you get that to that prosperity corner, that's
mm-hmm.
called the family area of the home or the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could put, and that's mostly about ancestors. So that
mm-hmm.
would be where you would
mm-hmm.
place the generations, back in time.
Okay.
And your parents, your grandparents, people, up the lineage line there. And
okay.
then on the exact opposite side of the room, halfway back on the right-hand area on those walls, would be the children or descendants.
Okay.
So you might want to put, you might want to sort of separate them out, like people of long ago in the past versus your grandkids
right.
could be on the right-hand side. That would be like an optimal thing to do, not necessarily
okay.
like you have to, but, if you're going to really, cut a fine line about, oh, I want everything exactly in the right place, that would be how you would possibly divide them up. Now, and I have seen those hallways loaded with pictures,
yeah.
Top to bottom,
right.
all the way down, and you're just like walking
yeah.
down the hall going, oh, my God, there's a million people looking at me. So what I would remember the Goldilocks not too full, not too empty, rule
right.
there.
Okay.
And sometimes when people just, I need as much wall space as picture,
mm-hmm.
and when it gets more than half full, it really starts to, you're like all feeling
yeah,
like you
much.
Can't breathe, and
right.
it starts to feel cluttered, and clutter will slow you down. Space
okay.
equals opportunity. Always remember that. So
when
in doubt and you want some new opportunities to show in your life, look around. What can I get rid of? Because that
mm-hmm.
space is just infinite possibility where the stuff is only, it can only be the stuff.
Right, okay,
So think about that
that's
when
amazing.
Pictures too.
Yeah, I almost have that right in my house. I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking about where things are. That's great.
Well, you're a coach. You're very in tune, and you probably got a few things going right in there, I would guess.
A few things, but I'm learning a lot from you, let me tell you. Now, do you help people renovate or build their homes? Because it seems to me that would be a good time to bring you in, to catch them, so that they get things right from the start. So do you help people with that?
I do. I help companies and people, just homeowners from land acquisition, which lot should
mm-hmm.
we buy, all the way through the design process. Like I said, I'm a landscape architect. I don't draw anymore,
right.
but I certainly know how to have a conversation with an architect to get them to do what the client needs, which so often the client just feels voiceless in that process.
Right,
And then also, I'm no stranger to a construction site as well, so all the way during construction. And we can hide a lot of the cures. We can build them into the house. Like I say, it doesn't need
right,
to be seen.
Right.
to be there. So you can actually paint. When I renovated my house, I painted the slab. I put all these colors all over the slab in each room. So then when we put our flooring on top of it, I know
mm-hmm.
that the colors are already there. So almost no matter what I do from a design point of view, I know I at least have one level of energy pattern working for me, even though nobody else can see it. So
right.
my house does not look like a Chinese trinket shop or a circus tent or anything like that. It's people are kind of stunned when they see my house, that they expect it to be more obviously feng shui, and it certainly isn't, because you can use good aesthetics as well. But I've hidden mirrors, crystals, color, inside homes and
mm-hmm.
of homes and businesses. I've done several businesses from the ground up as well. So I would love, the earlier the better. Yeah, definitely
right.
pre-design if possible. That would be fantastic to get there then.
This is a good time to tell the listeners how they could reach you, because you can help people. You can help people from afar as well as face to face. Correct?
Yes. On my website, and like I said, we are getting ready to completely change it out, and there will be a forward. What do they call that? A reroute or whatever.
Yes. Right.
I do telephone consultations, so people send in their floor plan, and they send in pictures of all the rooms of the house, and I get a lot done over that. I'm quite easily, you know, that it works out just fine.
Okay.
So I do have the option of doing, if you go to fengshuipalace.com, and that's FengShuiPalace.com, and under workshops and consultations, there's telephone consultations, and there are on-site consultations if you'd like to, for me to literally come to your house or business and you know, walk through the entire place with you, and you know, we end up with a good priority list of what needs to happen and in what order. And so those two things work out great. I also, you know, teach a lot of teleseminars and webinars online that you can find at the website as well. And I do, you know, all the way up to professional certification training. If people want to come and do, you know, if they're like, wow, I want to do what she does, you know, that sounds like fun. I actually teach that. And it took me quite a number of years to of people begging me to actually do that.
Before
but
you
now
did it, yeah.
Really found that teaching people to spread the word, and now I'm kind of, because my goal is to change the world one house at a time, and now I've got these other people out there helping me. I mean, what a novel idea. It takes the load off, you know. So people are out there professionally doing this and loving it as well. So I've got a lot of different choices, even if it's just little teleseminars that they can, you know, get the recordings and just listen while they learn. A lot of CDs and, you know, all kind of stuff there. So Feng Shui Palace for now, fengshuipalace.com, soon to be KarenRauCarter.com.
Oh,
and,
cool.
If they want to call, I don't know, should I give a phone number?
Yes, you may.
Feel free to call me if you, if you'd like a consultation. It's 714-508-9935. And I'd be glad to, and you know, to figure out a way to, you know, I book trips all over, and I tack on consultations along the way as I travel. So if you're in a city where I'm going to be near you, that would be an even cheaper way to get me. You know, I fly uniquely for people, but if I'm already in the town speaking somewhere, I often do consultations in that neighborhood at a much cheaper price. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah, the I'm so happy to hear that people can use your services no matter where they are, because the callers are from all over the country and the world. And I have a question on the chat room asking, Karen, what are your thoughts on vision boards? Can too many pictures throw off the energy of the room?
I am a lover of vision boards. Because of the intention that people put in behind it. That is symbols plus intention. As a matter of fact, I am getting ready to put a new product on my website that is all about how to use vision boards with your feng shui. So I love it, and I would say, how does it make you feel? You know, I Dr. Phil people all the time. How's that working for you, you know? So if it inspires you, makes you happy, brings a smile up, I say yes.
You just created a new verb. You Dr. Phil people.
Exactly.
The question I have about the vision boards is, okay, so you've created a vision board and you have the right intentions. Where does it go in the mix of things in your house? Where is the best place for it, given that it's your vision of the future, where you want your life to go? Where's the best place for it to hang?
I could find just about any good place to hang that. I personally have mine. I have, you know, when we renovated, I did the dream thing, you know. So I don't have a closet. I have a dressing room. So I have a lovely room that I get dressed in, and I have my personal vision board there, and it's straight ahead, kind of up ahead of me when I put my makeup on and do all my stuff. And so that's where I personally have mine, and it happens to be in the prosperity corner of the house. I wanted to claim that space for myself, and so I could really do whatever I wanted in there, you know, and it was just my own personal thing. But I would say, you know, wherever it makes sense and wherever it's in your vision, you know, I don't think there needs to be a set place for
Set place for that.
I think it's a universal you know, up the energy kind of a thing.
Okay, that's cool. Now, if I'm consistently drawn to a particular color, might that mean something to you as a feng shui consultant?
That might. Oftentimes I might ask people, or you see it consistently repeated in their house. You know how some people mm-hmm. just never have red in their house, and some people have red all over the place, and you're like, what,
right,
you know,
right.
Why would that be? And so colors align with the five elements in feng shui, and so it might mean that you're needing to be balanced by that element, or it might mean that you are just really full on living the quality of that element. And like water are the blacks and deep blues and very dark, 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 dense colors. And some people that are overwatered, they feel like they can't get out of bed in the morning, or they're kind of more like, you know, you picture the surfers, hey, mañana, hey, I'll do it tomorrow, whatever. And if that's not working for you, I call it, you might be overwatered. Or some people literally say, I just had a client in downtown L.A. A couple weeks ago, and he said his condo that he's living in, they're currently underwater. You know, the term of underwater, and you could actually see, it was in a loft in L.A., and you could actually see the exposed water pipes literally overhead. I said, well, you are underwater, you know. So a lot of times people are literally saying what's going on in their environment. So wood element are all the greens and all the, I would say wood kind of color, like trees, you know. Let's call all the greens wood element. And if you need to get something started, a business, a new opportunity, whatever, greens might work great for you. Greens, I would say, are my kid room color without knowing anything else about the children.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If I were to pick one color that might work great for kids, it's green, because it's all about growth and kids need to grow, you know?
Okay.
So
wood
would be great. If you, you know, like if you have maybe cancer and you have a growth that's overtaking, you might not want to do so much wood. See how it depends. The green, you know, so it all depends.
Okay.
And then fire are all the hot colors, reds and oranges and real hot pink, you know, all those fierier colors. And if you need to just get yourself fired up, boom, let's use some red. If you're burnt out, maybe you got too much.
Too much.
And then, yeah, and then all the earth elements, like we were talking about back in the relationship area, earth, taupe, yellows, browns, very grounding colors. That's great to have, like, on the floor, you know, the brown wooden floor. Blue carpet is probably the most challenging, you know, walking on water or walking on the sky.
Oh.
It's not natural to have the blue below us. It's natural to have the blue above us. But the browns work great on the ground, depicting the earth. So sometimes people are living, they feel topsy-turvy or upside down, and they have that blue carpet, and it's because we don't normally walk on blue in nature. That means you're getting wet, or you're got vertigo and you're upside down, and, you know, I don't know, you're walking on the sky or something.
And the way you explain it makes so much sense. I mean, it just seems like common sense once you explain it.
Yeah, it's all about patterns of nature and just getting in touch with it. And once you start to see with your feng shui eyes that way, you just know what's not working for you. It just becomes, you know, simple. And the last element, I just wanted to get through the last one of the five elements, is metal, which is all the white colors, whites and pastel light colors, metallic colors. And like I was talking about getting something started with the wood element, if you're having trouble finishing things, you need more metal, because metal is the finishing element. So that would be some quick tips using color. So whites and pastels might help get the job done for you.
Wow.
Or maybe get your husband moving to clean out the garage or whatever. I hear a lot of that complaint.
Boy, we have 54 seconds remaining today. We're at the end of the show, and I'm so glad that we got to talk to you. I am excited that we have an opportunity to change our environment. I know I am in the process of following the tips you gave today, but also from your book and from the times I've heard you speak. So I am looking forward to some great love and prosperity in my life soon. I know that. I want to thank you again, Karen, for sharing with us today. And I encourage you're most welcome. I encourage listeners to go over to fengshuipalace.com and take a look at how Karen can help you create the environment that is most conducive to the goals you have. I want to invite all of you to tune in again next Monday, May 3rd, 2010, at 11 a.m. It's going to be an exciting show. Please visit coloryourlifehappy.com, and I will talk to you again next week. Thank you, Karen, and thank you, listeners. Goodbye now.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. All day to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose. The difference between try and triumph is a little bumpy. We all have ups and downs.